Welcome to episode 3 of whatever we call this week.
Return of the Quail.
Return of the Quail. What was our name last week when Quail didn't participate or listen?
Yeah, I forgot to do that.
Yeah, you didn't even listen.
I'll do it later.
We bashed you pretty hard.
I'm going to download it and put it on my iPod and listen to it in the car as I drive to Lafayette later today.
Okay. Do people still own iPods?
I don't know. If you own an Android phone,
I do.
Maybe. So, all right, well, what a week. Not for anybody. You know, certain people in the standings didn't have a necessarily good week. Detroit
Kings.
Pistons, Kings.
You mean
Kings who lost? Kings who beat the Pistons?
Do you mean what a week by going 8-0, the Los Angeles Lakers?
I believe the Lakers had a good week. I haven't heard anything about that, so I don't know. All right, let's open up. What's our first segment?
Trades.
All right, we're going to go to trades.
Before we talk about trades, I'd just like to think we should mention the fact that you need to check out your salaries before you make your trades. And let's just review them, okay, guys?
Question for you. I do have a question about this. When you see, I don't know, $50 million, how do you mistake that for $837,000?
I mean, honestly, let's be real. McGlure doesn't deserve that contract, but he definitely didn't deserve a minimum contract, I don't think.
You know who should really have to take that contract? Trell.
Trell? Is Trell the one that gave that contract?
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, man. That's rough.
But he can't afford it because then he gave another terrible contract to Rashid and Lamar Odom.
I feel like we got a little bit of criticism last time for not being critical enough. I think we, talked a little too positive about people. So we're just going to go at people the entire time.
We're just going to recite copypasta the entire time.
Copypasta.
You don't. I am alpha male.
Don't yell into the mic, please.
Yeah, you don't even have to tell me to be negative. I'm just born that way.
All right. So we're going to start with trades. So I guess we should go look at the trade post and see what we got, because we got a lot of good ones here. We got to keep it shorter than what we did last time. I think we cut this piece last time. I don't remember.
Yeah, some interesting trades go down, and some interesting non-trades go down too.
I can't find one of the threads. It disappeared.
So do we? Let's talk about the first one, the Celtics.
All right, Celtics,
and the Wizards.
Wizards. Well, the Celtics Lakers. Did that happen this week too?
Yeah, they did. That was a big move, blockbuster. I'm actually kind of disappointed that my trade thread was the smallest. It's not the first time I've heard that.
It literally was only accept, processed. I think that's the shortest Laker trade thread there's ever been.
Because people like to talk about your trades, and they didn't want to say shit about it. They're like, this doesn't even.
I usually average about 1,200 views per trade post, and I think I got like 50.
YouTube is like 72. Paying him 3 cents a view.
The Mavs Spurs, that one happened this week.
The Mavs Spurs?
That was.
That's the one that got away from the Knicks, Lauren Woods.
Hmm. Okay, never mind.
Sorry. I remember seeing that somewhere.
All right, so we're going to start with the big one, Wizards Celtics.
I thought we already started with that like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so y'all talk about it first. I mean, we're not saying anything. Wizards Celtics, Eddie Jones, Bo Outlaw, and Boston's 08 first, which is forever far away. Boston gets Grant Hill, Davis Wesley, and Jeff McInnes. Thoughts?
I just hope that the Celtics also included a can of KY or a tube of KY. That's
yeah, I think we were going to go with give me a two-word response on this.
Bloody dick.
Unfortunately,
I was going with trade rape, but yeah. Okay, that works too.
Yeah, I think they both mean the same thing. I don't know what this does to the Celtics. He's 20 games back of 500, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't look pretty as of right now for the Celtics this year. And if you thought his team didn't play well this year because they were older, I'm worried about next year with Weber and Shaq. But theoretically, this is going to be a good team next year.
Let's look on the bright side for the Wizards. And they got an 08 pick. And they could possibly pick, I don't know, a guy like J.R. Giddens with that pick. maybe even a Walter Sharp or a Joey Dorsey.
Is DJ Augustine?
I'm really predicting.
Is DJ Augustine in that draft?
I don't think DJ Augustine will be in the draft file because he hasn't had a very outstanding career.
Ouch.
It's a personal shot at Trey.
Yep.
Little brother Martin Love.
Little
there.
Brother Martin Love.
I think that I know the Wizards GM was defending his move as clearing up, and I think he's long term. I think he's just trying to free himself from having to pay 50 points a year, which I do understand. And he might have some luck with those picks. I mean, 07 draft. I mean, I honestly think by trading away not only Grant Hill. And I'm not really sure what David Wesley was getting. I didn't really check his contract.
But McGinnis was good.
Yeah, McGinnis wasn't bad. Wesley's not bad. I mean, off the bench or anything. He's getting, don't get me wrong, Bo Outlaw is good. But he's old, too.
He pretty much took himself, he took his name out of the championship hat this year.
Yeah, definitely. I agree there.
And next year.
Definitely.
And quite the year possibly. After that.
What is this? Well, I gotta look at, you gotta look at his cap situation for next year.
Eddie Jones has a 3-year contract.
But he still has Kobe. I mean, he still has Kobe on a 6 or 7 year deal.
But
right?
It's the same thing as Tim Duncan with Zolino. Kobe's not gonna carry you there. Tim Duncan didn't do it. Kobe's not gonna do it. Whoa. It's just not gonna happen with two guys. The league's gotten too strong where you can only have two good players.
You need a good supporting cast. I think that's what this league comes down to.
To pray that Eddie Jones produces anything in the next 2 years is just insane.
It's a hope, a wish, and a prayer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Make a wish foundation.
Right.
But sometimes it may be, you never know in this league. We've seen some players get traded, and then all of a sudden they go bananas. And just some silver lining for the Wizards playbook here is that, you know, Eddie Jones, he could shoot lights out if you play him off the bench
if you play him in the right game plan.
That's what the Celtics were doing. They had him off the bench.
And I think that's probably good because, I mean, he plays good defense.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So I think we all have a consensus here.
There's a winner, and we all know who the winner is.
I'd like to argue this point because people said we should argue more, but it's really hard to argue.
Yeah, this one's not.
For the Wizards on this one.
So there was a thread in between these next two Knicks trades that was a Knicks trade as well. who hasn't read that thread? Or who hasn't read the explosion that happened about this thread?
I think I accidentally caused the snowball effect of this buy, and I apologize because I am a proponent for not commenting on threads until both parties accept. Right. And I just mentioned something because I think people had said, hey, Knicks are going to be doing big things with Ray Allen. And I'm like, yeah, paying big cap penalties.
So
and
I think it was more of a joke, but it
started. A joke that may have started a snowball effect, and I do apologize for that because I try to.
Quick point. I heard you have done a lot of snowballing in your life. Do you know what that is? Urban Dictionary.
Are you talking about snowballs from off of West Esplanade and Transcontinental? Because those are pretty good.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the porn term snowball.
We're just going to leave that up to our people to look up. Oh, God. Boo.
I'm just kidding. That's not really. It didn't really.
Have you really looked that term up?
Yes, I know what it means.
The thing is, I control this podcast, and I could very well delete that segment where it sounds like you got laid this morning because...
I didn't say I didn't get laid.
So, like, quick point is, I'm not sure if Doug has ever been laid before this year because he's brought it up quite a few times.
Oh, God.
So, let's get back to this thing here.
So, this trade was made for the sole purpose of the Knicks thought the game ended in 3 years. He thought the game was over in 3 years. Like, I remember texting Balls right away and saying, this, you know, he's doing this because he thinks the game ends and he doesn't have to worry about the end of that contract. And again, Ray Allen, he's doing great things this year and he could produce for anybody, but $20 million in that last year is a really tough number to deal with.
24.
Who was he sending again? Was it Richard Jefferson and Tony Parker?
No, it was it was Richard Jefferson.
It was two people,
but
though.
In being able to do that, what happened was the Sonics were able to cut, I think it was $8 million off their salary cap for a guy who produced almost as much as Ray Allen. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. Ray Allen is the better player in the deal, but he just had the terrible contract, while Richard Jefferson, on the other hand, has one of the better contracts in the league as far in terms of production to dollars.
Right. So anyways, that one got ugly really quickly. And again, I'm going to go with what Quayle said. I'm going to apologize for my comments on that thread, too. I've talked to both parties. I've talked to B-Ball specifically. And, I didn't mean to sway that. I think once you explain the luxury tax problems, and, it's a scary subject once you actually understand what it means to your team and everything, you know, that's my bad. But that was terrible to back out of that trade at that point.
But you've got the culprit wrong. I think B-Ball admitted as much that
he
posted a little bit prematurely. Even though you know what goes on in PMs, it might have been
posted.
You know, right. it might have shown that he needed to post it, but I guess it wasn't to AD23. It wasn't him agreeing. And well, it was miscommunication. So I don't really put any blame there. The blame I put is that AD23, after playing this for 5 or 6 seasons, doesn't know the rules by now.
Yeah. And he's pretty, he's not pretty active, but he at least,
well, he's played
the game.
He's put a lot of talent together, so you can't really hate on his skills, you know?
Right.
I agree.
So, okay, this means that the next day, AD23 posted this thread, and he was taking McGlure for essentially a bag of chips, right? I mean, the Nets were getting 4 points and a second rounder, and it's the best 4 points in a second rounder they've ever been offered, ever. I mean, if someone offered that trade to me, I would definitely say post it up, and then I would accept it within 2 seconds. And then all of a sudden, word broke that the Knicks had no idea what McGlure's contract was. That it was, in fact, 10 times higher than what they thought they saw. And we're talking towards the million mark, not the 100,000 mark.
I still laugh at this trade. I'm sorry. The situation, I do understand in that he was checking it from his phone. I do that all the time. And especially if you're trying to rush to get something done, like he had mentioned that he was trying to trade for Lauren Woods, and then that got traded to, I think, the Mavs from the Spurs or something like that.
That was the one we brushed over.
So he was just trying to get it done. And I guess checking from your phone limits, what you can do at all the time and stuff. I mean, I check from the phone all the time. But I also make sure I thoroughly review my cap situation and check it in the trade checker before posting it, even if I'm on my phone. So I guess that's part of, that's just me being me.
Balls.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything that needs to be said about this has been said. The real crime is that, first of all, it was left up to an owner and he had to feel bad. That's not Commish's fault or anything, but it was a bad situation in general. And really that happened, and that he was stuck with that contract to start out. And I don't know if there's really a solution in terms of people taking over teams with bad contracts on them. It's one of those things I personally believe you have to stick with, and you just have to work through it and hopefully trade off the player or just – build your team slowly.
But with the same, on the flip coin, I think we felt differently about it with B-Ball. And again, it's nothing personal. I know we ride B-Ball a lot. But B-Ball signed Allen to that contract and was apparently and is still unhappy with having him for that amount of money. I don't think he expected to have to pay that much money. I think he thought the max was less money. I seem to remember that from that free agency period.
I just think he threw the max at him just to keep him on his team.
Right.
Well, but just the same thing with Paul Pierce and McDyess. He's trying to work that last asset off. Basically what happened was, what I believe, and I could be wrong because I don't want to speak for him, was that he worked really hard to get all three of those assets on the team together, thought they were going to be better than they were. And then when it came down to re-signing period, he didn't want to lose everything he had traded for, start from a blank slate. So he had to offer that max deal, and he got stuck with him.
Right. Well, I think also, if I remember correctly, Paul Pierce and McDyess offered to resign, and Ray Allen didn't. But and if they had a choice of the three, if any of them, he wanted Ray Allen to make the offer and the other two to opt out. Yeah.
And I guess my point is still, though, that the Nets owner inherited this terrible contract. B-Ball actually signed this terrible contract, and this bad contract. I won't call it terrible, but it's a bad contract.
Yeah, the difference between the two, though, is Ray Allen is a productive player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's scoring like 27 a game. So, like, at his current contract, I think it's about right. The problem comes down, like, four seasons from now.
Shaq money.
Yeah, it'll be pretty terrible. But, you know, I don't think it's the same comparison.
No.
I just, I mean,
I hate to interrupt you, I'm sorry. But the big thing is, like, I don't understand why, you know, obviously the McGlure thing was a mistake. But I don't understand, and it's happened not only to B-Ball, but it's happened all around the league, why people are bailing each other out of these terrible contracts, you know? I like, with the Eddie Jones trade, that was a terrible contract. Yeah. People are bailing each other out. Like, to me, I would refuse to bail them out just so you have to pay for that mistake.
Well, especially with the length left on the contract. I mean, look at an example, and, I'm friends with G. Messi, so, you know, he's trying to get rid of Courtney Alexander. He won't be able to trade that until next year when he's an expiring contract. And at that point, it might be worth somebody else taking that contract on to get some other assets in the future.
Yeah.
But to take on a contract that's literally four more years left on it for – McGlure has – I think he's 9 this year or 8 this year, and it goes up to 9.5. I mean, it doesn't break that 8 figures, but it's a hard number to deal with, you know, when you're trying to, you know, build your team. And he did that trade specifically. I knew that he was talking because I ended up trading for Yao, which we can talk about in a second. But I knew he was trading Yao, so he wanted to get at least somebody to fill the center spot. So he was trying to get somebody that was cheap help to play center because he was focusing on Amari and, you know, these other pieces that he was trying to trade for to build his team around going forward. He wasn't going to offer both of them. I think we all anticipated him offering both of them max money deals, but if he could fill another position, he'd be fine. And that's I think that's what ended up happening. He hit accept on the wrong contract, and it almost crippled his team completely.
So this is a good segue to your trade, but I guess what I don't understand is why is he all of a sudden ready to blow this whole thing up? I mean, a minute ago it was Richard Jefferson. Now it's Yao.
What's his record?
Well, he's over 500. No, he's 22-25.
I think a lot of this has to do with he wants to win a championship, and he was trading for the Sonics. And I guess part of it, like we had mentioned earlier, which actually I have written down as my post of the week, is what year does this league end? Was it 2010? He just wanted to get a championship in there before the league ended.
Yeah,
before we hit restart.
That's what I'm saying. Like, trading Richard Jefferson for Ray Allen, I think, gets you more production. He could keep Yao and sign him and Amari to max deals and just not have to worry about the tax.
That's the point. And going into our next trade is, now that you know the league doesn't end in 4 years,
why blow it up?
Why are you trading Yao? Like, having Yao and Amari at the front court is... Well, I mean, it's amazing.
And I thought once he made that trade that it was over, that he wasn't going to be able to trade. He was going to have to take Yao on and just trade Yao later for more pieces or something. He wasn't going to let him go. He wasn't going to be able to take on a contract now because his cap was severely diminished. But he moved him still. I thought he was going to go ahead and keep him, going to sign him to the max money deal. His cap figure was going to be awful, and that's why we talked about the Allen trade that way. That's why we talked to McGlure. His cap number is going to be terrible if he kept Yao and Amari. But I didn't think he had options to even get rid of those guys at that point.
Well, in my opinion, he got bailed out because I thought he was going to have to give up some people because Jefferson's averaging 25-plus a game. Then he had Tony Parker, which was going to be a max deal. Then he had Amari, who's definitely a max deal. Then he had Yao, who was probably going to be a max deal. So I thought he got bailed out, number one, by the Jefferson contract, and thought he would be able to afford his big three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really why I'm confused by the moves.
And to be honest, like you said, the Jefferson contract is probably just as favorable, if not more favorable, than the Arenas contract that he signed with me. I was expecting Arenas to ask for
Unbelievable.
What is it, like max and 7.5 or 12.5 a year?
What is
and
he end this up
getting
year?
Is like he's this year is less than $8 million.
You got bailed out so bad.
Yeah, I was really happy. He gave you about a $3 million pay, you know.
And listen, that's cool. Listen,
for Wallace break. And Wallace said fuck you. So I said fuck you to Wallace.
No, but
and thank you to Trey.
You want to talk about guys that are outplaying their contracts. Arenas, I mean, he was great before, but this year he's really just stepped up his game to the elite level. Like before he was an all-star, now he's an elite level. Like he's maybe a top 5 player.
Two-time All-Star Game MVP.
And two-time first-round exit in the playoff.
Actually, I don't know if it's two times.
We'll see how this goes.
I don't remember.
No, two.
Oh, that's right. I beat Trey and then lost the second round. Nice.
Damn. Anyways, so I obviously we talk about these trades before Commish has actually approved them, and obviously there's some more wrinkles that go into this. Well, I mean, real Pelicans fan has said he's not retracting it, so that's going to go through. My trade has some work to do on it, and
let's talk about that
real
quick. I mean, we kind of hit on that. I thought it was a big win for you, and part of that is, and we've talked about this before, is that 7-foot-plus guys in this league that can score 15 to 25 points a game and rebound the ball well don't grow on trees. I mean, there's five maybe, and I think I'm overstating that at this point. And then when you put in the fact that he's under 25 years old, then there's Gasol. So you have Gasol and Yao, and you got him for, you know, a guy that was really expendable because Jackson, while great,
was playing out of position. Playing out of position.
He's playing out of position, and you have Wallace, who you just signed to that big deal.
Yeah, and the Wallace deal may eventually be in the realm of what we're talking about with these bad contracts and really hard to trade. Because I mean, honestly, I floated him out there just to see if anybody, you know, was interested, and nobody's interested. So to your point, maybe people bailing out other people is starting to go away. That you only have a couple of. You know, a couple of these other bad contracts and owners who are willing to take on those bad contracts.
I trade for Wallace.
You trade for? You're not going
to
trade for?
If I sent Brian Grant to you, I'd trade Brian Grant, and you'd have to send me one of your 12,000 power forwards.
All right, this is going to be. Yeah, I do have a lot of power forwards. I do. I mean, this move was essentially a rebuilding thing for me. I you know, this year hadn't gone as well as I thought it would. I think I found a game plan I liked, but I still was going to be – it's going to be tough for me going forward to compete in the East with the amount of size at center. And I think the Yao thing helps me out. And I tried to go – and Balls knows this. You know this too, Quayle, that I tried to go after Gasol last year and, you know, just got beat out for it. But – I mean, I've been looking to get a big center, you know, quality center. And fortunately for us, you know, these guys play what they're supposed to be playing in the league. I mean, there's few times that they just don't live up to the rankings that they have or that they just flake out like Yao did in real life.
Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones did flake out. I mean, he played, and this is when I was really starting to get into basketball. He played with the Lakers when Kobe got first drafted. And Eddie Jones was a really good player at the time.
Yeah.
Great defender. He was scoring 20 a game. He moved on from there. Eventually went to, like, Miami and I think won a championship with D-Wade and Shaq. But he was his star was starting to sputter at that point.
Yeah. And that's about the point we're talking about now. I mean, we're in 06, which is when the first Heat championship was, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we're talking about the time that Eddie Jones puttered out, and Eddie Jones has 3 or 4 years left.
Let's move on to a different subject. I think Doug brought up a good subject earlier, which was the All-Star game. I think we could touch upon that in the All-Star selections, because that was a big piece of debate before it was.
Where were your snubs? What were your snubs for the All-Star game? I feel like there's some people who are really.
I got to pull it up real fast.
I have a problem with the format, and it's not the game's format. Really, that's what happens in real life, and it's the fact that you have to have, like, two centers. You have to have two power forwards. And, like, a snub for me would be Carmelo Anthony, because this dude is scoring, like, 26 a game, and he's shooting, like, 5'10", which is outlandish for a guy that plays on the perimeter.
Who did he get beat out by?
T-Mac and Glenn Robinson, which was a bit of a debate.
the Glenn Robinson debate. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's because we all assumed.
Who has better numbers?
Well, we all assumed. But that's funny because that debate was who was going to get the other spot. I think everyone thought that Carmelo was going to get the spot. I mean, everybody, you know, I think that there wasn't much debate there. But for both of your guys to make it and Melo not make it was a surprise.
Yeah.
And to go to that, the Warriors. Okay, the Warriors, and I'm going to touch on this really quickly. I said, and I want to fix what I said on the last podcast. I was not insulting you, Warriors. I said that I felt like you were like the Bucks, that I didn't think that you could stay in the top four, that I thought that you would slip to that five spot. Now, I don't mean to, you know, pound my chest or anything or to make it personal, but you are in the fifth spot now. And right now, my non-insult has now turned into an insult because you were very vocal as people disrespected you. I'm going to continue to say your team is not flashy on paper. Whether or not you win a championship, I'm not saying you're not a competitor. I'm just saying that you probably don't end in the top four. With the talent that's in the Western Conference, that you don't end in the top four. But don't take it personally. Again, don't take it personally. I'm just saying that I was right so far. I'm wrong about the Bucks at this point. And, you know, that's that. So, but
my whole argument for McGrady versus Glenn Robinson and Carmelo Anthony was the fact that Tracy McGrady is producing similar numbers as a three scoring option. These two guys, Glenn Robinson and Carmelo, are ones. I mean, they get the ball, they shoot more. Now, Melo is shooting a better percentage, which is why I think he's a snub. But McGrady plays defense, and these guys don't.
True.
I don't think this is necessarily a snub, and I hate to self-fillate myself. Self-fillate myself?
Fillage.
Fillage myself. Bloge. But I just like to give a little shout-out to Bojangles over there. That, you know, Dwight Howard is definitely going to hold a spot on the Eastern All-Star team, but Marcus Camby needs to watch out because Tyson Chandler is going to be right on his ass. No homo.
No.
And we were going back and forth about this the other night, and he was like, I will kill you if you take something like that. But, yeah, he needs to watch out because TC's been putting up some good numbers, especially the past few sims when he doesn't get in foul trouble, and that's been his issue. It's not a snub this year, but just watch out for future All-Star games.
This is the thing about Camby. Is Camby in real life was just this consistent, like, producer. It doesn't matter. Nobody really wanted him on their team. It was always he was moving around a little bit. But he just constantly produced in real life. So, I mean, I think that's what we're seeing from Camby. I think your guy's having a good year. Don't get me wrong. Tyson has the opportunity to be good because he was created to be the talent that he was supposed to be from day one. And you got him, and congratulations, you're doing fine.
Tinge of jealousy there.
No, it's not jealousy. I'm just saying that I think Camby doing what he's done has been pretty indicative of what he did in real life at that point. Because it wasn't until Dwight Howard came in the league that, like, Camby was defensive player of the year like two or three years in a row, wasn't he? I mean,
like every year in a row.
Yeah, I mean, so
are we talking sim or real life?
We're talking real life.
Oh, real life. I don't think he's ever won a
really?
POI.
Hey, by the way, you can expect one thing from me on these podcasts, quote stuff that isn't real.
Inaccurate stats.
And I'm trying
to
get away from
that. He should be the one playing Skip Bayless.
So let's go through some all-star shockers, and I'll go through mine first to give you guys a second. I thought the fact that D. Wade, while amazing, was a shocker that he made the team. And then on the other side, I was kind of shocked that Morris Peterson made it for a second year in a row despite not being on the Hornets, because everybody knows the second you join the Hornets, you shoot 50% from three. Mm.
Yeah.
Sup, Rip? I remember you for that half season.
You remember that time you scored like 8 points a game and shot like 33%?
Don't remind me. That's the first time that the Celtics took it to my butthole.
Jeez.
The second time was much harsher, wasn't it?
It was a little bit. So much higher expectations. Thank you, Sheed and Latrell.
I can just say Latrell, that my own personal snub of the weekend was the rookie sophomore MVP. Somehow, and I understand Chris Paul is probably the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. somehow he beat out David Lee and Andrew Bynum, who both had – well, no. This is a clear cut.
David Lee
should have won that.
Wait. You want to talk about snubs like that? Let's talk about real snubs. Gilbert Arenas, 14 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Tim Duncan, 22 points, 12 points, 3 assists, 3 blocks.
Basically, your team lost.
So therefore, the MVP player of the game has to come from the winning team.
That's not true.
Okay,
that's not true every time.
What about Kobe Bryant?
What
about Kobe?
Well, apparently, if you look at the rookie game, assists count for a lot more than everything else because Chris Paul won it too. Six assists.
No. Granger had 15. No, I'm sorry. 6 assists? Oh, yeah, okay. Deron Williams had 5.
Yeah, but he also had 5 points. Or six points, whatever.
I mean, guys, I don't think this is. Listen, this. The only guy on the team to get a double-double, am I right about this? The only guy on the team to get a double-double was David Lee. And this is the kind of problem that we're going to run into with Chris Paul being as overpowered as he is, I think. You know, the guys who may deserve it aren't going to get it.
I don't know if – like, I think Chris Paul's a little overpowered. I think Dwight Howard is very overpowered.
Well,
yeah. I mean, he's shooting like 70% from the free throw line.
Well, yeah, that's tough to explain. But is there really a stat for the commish to control that?
I don't know that. I think it might have to do with like jump shot or something.
I was looking at Yao. I did notice this. I was looking at Yao's
ugly face
past stats, and he said he was I think he's 722, 721, 722, 722 from the free throw line. Like every year for his first 4 years, and I'm wondering if there's just no parity to free throws at all. Like, what you are going to shoot is what you're going to shoot for the rest of your career in this league.
Well, Shaq is shooting pretty accurate free throws. It's one of the reasons I got rid of him.
Yeah.
Turnovers and free throws.
Yeah,
sure, he got to the line 20 times, but he made it 6.
It's tough. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to another topic.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about in general. Just the standings in both conferences, and just talk about going. I know we have a sim coming today. Let's talk about our projections for the next sims, or just what the standings are and what we see them going forward. What we think.
Okay, I'll jump in and I'll keep on my Magic hating ways, and I will guarantee you guys, book it, that the Magic do not make the playoffs again, extending their 5-season-long streak of never making the playoffs. David West.
I think the Knicks
will not.
They're out of it right now, and I don't know that their team got that much better.
Well, I mean, they traded for Jackson,
which should
assuming
be.
That the Yao trade goes through. But they also trade away a dominant center. And then Jackson, I'm assuming, is going to be playing out of position on his team as well, unless Richard Jefferson's going to the two.
He is playing out of position, and this was a conversation I did have with him, and he asked me specifically about that, and I told him I'm playing him out of position. He has been doing what he's been doing at that position all year. If you look at his stats, that's fine, but a lot of times it's the game plan, too, that could hurt it, but go ahead.
So you cooked him.
I didn't cook him. No.
You cooked him.
No, I talked to him, and I think I remember sharing this with you. I talked to him, and I was like, he's giving me pointers on how to play Jackson. So I was like, no, I've tried that before. I'll keep it going, you know. I kept the conversation going. Like he's giving me pointers, and I'm gonna, you know, at least, you know, hear him out through it. And then at the end, he's like, cool, he'll be good to play alongside Richard Jefferson. And I'm like, wait, what? I thought our talks were dead, that kind of thing. And it's just...
Trey.
Yes.
I'm sushi. You don't need to cook me.
I do want to say, I think you'll watch and see the 76ers jump back from the 7th seed and jump back up to the 2 seed this sim. I think the Wizards are going to jump down. Actually, I think they're going to fall out of the top 8.
Do they fall far enough?
Wait, let's talk about that. That's a huge point there. The Wizards are the 2 seed. Now, they're the 2 seed because they're in a division that's really like...
weak.
Well, yeah, we'll say weak, but like, they're fighting it out.
There's a lot of parity.
Yeah, there's nothing but parity there. But you think the 2 seed, the Washington Wizards, with Kobe Bryant, who I said wouldn't win a championship, but Kobe Bryant McDyess will not make the playoffs. So who do you have taking their spot behind them? Like the Magic, the Nets, the Knicks, the Hawks, Pistons, the Heat, or the Celtics? Which one?
No. We have to look. We're not looking at this hard enough. They are first place, and that's why they're in the 2nd seed. Look, once the Sixers overtake them, they fall down to the 7th seed.
That's what I'm saying.
They fall automatically to the 7th seed.
Yeah, but
I expect
we
the
are
Wizards
looking,
to lose a lot more games now.
Yeah, but we are looking at it, right? Because who below them, who out of the playoff standings do you see overtaking them?
One of the teams that are going to be floating around 500. I think it could be the Nets. It could Dwight Howard could power them in.
The Nets might.
Especially now that they've – well, I mean, they could – maybe if not that next year, this year, I think next year they're going to be a dominant force, especially with the cap space they may have cleared up. The Knicks, we were just bashing them for this. But if Jefferson and Jackson can coexist – I mean, Tony Parker's a distributor. So if he can get the ball to them and Amari, that's a lot of mouths to feed. But I could see them possibly jumping up and taking the 8th spot, knocking the Wizards out. I just think the Wizards lost a lot of manpower when they traded away Grant Hill.
See, but
I could see the Wizards fall into the 7 or 8 seed. I think
the Raptors are going to stay in.
Yeah, I don't see any of the reason why I don't agree with it is I don't see any of the other teams below being strong enough to be a 500 team.
Fair enough. I do want to point out that I really think
The Celtics could run off a crazy amount of wins.
He did put together a 25-game winning streak at one time. So
the green elephant in the playoff standings.
This
right?
is more realistic looking at the standings now, and I'm sorry that I haven't done this before looking at the podcast, but the Wizards have hurt themselves, and they're going to fall to that 7 or 8 seed. They're going to go right from 2 to 7 or 8. I think that them hurting themselves, some of the Magic, who you're convinced are not going to stick around. I think there are teams that are at the bottom that can move their way up. I think the Celtics are the favorite out of that group of people because
are you saying that you might have a chance?
I'm not going to say that.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Oh, there's a chance, but I'm not saying that.
It's very slim, right?
I mean, I spent 7 Sims now at this point building like a game plan that
all
works.
It takes is one bad trade for one team. Look at my team last year. With the Bucks, I traded away McKee.
You couldn't win a game.
I couldn't win a game. Honestly, I think that was the beginning of the end for me by trading away the guy that was consistently giving me perimeter defense and three-point shooting and could pass.
I mean, I'll tackle the elephant in the room as well. The Celtics, I mean, I think it would be compelling and great if they made it back to the 8th seed. And considering what it would mean the Hornets versus the Celtics. The Celtics would have to become the hottest team in the league maybe ever in the second half. And it would be a matchup of Goliath versus Goliath at that point. There's no David because if they sit there, if they come up through the standings that quickly, who's going to doubt them? Like, it's got to be a 7-game series, right?
I'm just glad that I don't have to play the Celtics if they even get into the playoffs.
Well, and the
maybe.
The beautiful thing about this is there are 4 or 5 teams that feel very good about their playoff standings now after the trades that went down this week. The Wizards trading away that spot, that's got to make the Bucks, Bulls, Pacers, and Cavs feel great. The 76ers we know are going to be great. Bojangles is good at doing this.
He has a lot of home games coming up.
I think it's pretty safe to say that we know 6 teams that will make the playoffs because of what happened here. So we are still vying for that 7 and that 8 seed. And there are some.
It'll be a dogfight.
It's going to be interesting. Let's go into the Western Conference because I think we spent too much time on that.
It's okay. And I think the Western Conference. I think the playoff picture is cut down to 10 teams. Unlike the West or the East, where you could have the Celtics go on a historic run, and jump up the bottom seed to the 8th, whatever. But Western Conference, I think after 10, there's a bit of a drop off. Even with the Jazz, it might be pushing. I know their team has been doing pretty well this year. They had a lot of high hopes coming into the season. They've had a bit of a drop-off lately, and I think their home record is really going to hurt them. They're less than 500 at home.
Well, the Mavs made a deal this week. Does it hurt them? Do they go up? Do they go down?
Who did they trade for them? Sorry.
I don't remember.
I don't think they made any impact deals.
Oh, they traded for Keith Van Horn.
And I think that he was hurt for a couple games, and that's why he lost a couple.
Well, if you say that, I mean, there was one game where I played him, and speaking of Cook, Tracy McGrady cooked Keith Van Horn for 50.
And then there, then Gilbert Arenas cooked Darren Williams for 43. You know, so anyway, but that's beside the point.
You cooked a rookie, and you're talking shit.
Yes,
you cooked the number two point guard taken, possibly the number three. Wait, hold on a second. You are talking shit. You have the All Star MVP, which we already You spent enough time
controversial,
but you spent enough time stroking your ego on that. But now you're gonna talk shit about Deron Williams, who's a rookie.
I'm only referring to this because we talk shit in the actual scores thread. I was just giving him some heat.
Okay.
What's up, Chad? I know Chad can take it.
Maybe he brought it on. I don't know. But keep going. I mean, with the rest of the...
I think really the West, I think the Wolves have a really good shot. I think they found a good mix, and I think they may have found a good game plan that really and it took Tim Thomas getting a torn ACL to make things happen for him, which goes to show Heat know this just as well, that Tim Thomas may be the curse of the league, along with Shaq and his turnovers. But yeah, I think the Wolves might have a good chance to jump up to the eighth or seventh seed. I think the Suns have a pretty good solid hold on the sixth at the moment.
Well, six games over 500.
Unless the Warriors lose a few more,
Danny Fortson,
they fall down in the rankings.
Trey, for this podcast, can you do me a favor and play Funeral Music right now?
Okay,
because
I'll mark it.
I am going to pronounce a team dead today.
All right, who is it? If you say the Sacramento Kings, I'll come over there and smack you. Promise.
Everybody. Sad to announce the Utah Jazz are dead.
Utah Jazz are dead. Why? You have to explain yourself.
They started out with the lead in the Midwest, and ever since it has been nowhere but south. They have no momentum. They are dead.
Okay.
Announce them dead. Mark my word.
Call of the podcast right there.
So I'm gonna go through the Western Conference real quick. I really, you know, to touch on what Quayle said, I feel like the Timberwolves are going to make it back. You know, they made that kind of deceptive run when they traded Gasol last year. And I think they're going to, you know, with Marbury back at the point and they're starting him, I think they're going to overtake the Nuggets or the Mavericks. The Nuggets are real dangerous. The Mavericks might see their way out. I know he's going to hate me for saying that, but it's going to be a battle for that 8 seed again. I mean, that's where the real battles are happening. And then for the 2 and 3 seed, 1, 2, or 3 seed, you got, you know, myself, the Rockets, the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are always great. The Rockets have a great team. And, you know, I think I'm starting to hit my stride right now. So we'll see. That's going to be a battle as well.
Yeah, and you were saying about the Mavericks possibly falling out. And, I mean, they have nothing to be ashamed of either, because, I mean, that team has a lot of potential. And, I mean, they have a very good, solid young core that – you know, they are already competing for an 8th seed, and they were starting 2 rookies. So they could just as easily make it next year. So they have nothing to be worried about. And I'm not counting you out of the playoffs already. I mean, you still have a very good chance of making it. But
one team that's kind of shocking they're so bad is the Clippers, because they've got the talent. And it's shocking that they're still 10 games under 500 with the type of guys like D. Wade and Pierce, even though we probably shouldn't have traded Dirk. But he should probably be in that mix.
I think the biggest trade that hurt the Clippers was trading away Jay Williams. I think getting rid of Jay had a lot of potential, and a guy who could distribute the ball, get the ball to D-Wade, get the ball to Pierce, now that he has Pierce, get the ball to Randolph. You know, he has a lot of potential there. And to be honest, I mean, I'm not sure. Is Randolph starting for the Clippers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think they're number one option.
Joe Smith is probably the most underrated guy on that team. He plays center for them. I remember when he was on the Nets, and he was actually very productive defensively and offensively. I think he doesn't get enough playing time. I think if he's not playing number two at both positions, he needs to be.
Oh, okay. By the way, I did a little research on the Timberwolves, 13-5 in their last 18 games.
Yeah,
I mean, they lost the last two in the last sim, so they legit went 13-3 after some 500 games. I mean, they're on a roll.
Quill, will you entertain me for a second?
Sure. I always do.
Question from the Peanut Gallery, Conroy. Oh. Probably too late, but ask Quill if the unthinkable happens and he makes up 7 games on the Hornets and the Celtics somehow sneak in the 8 seed, how do you feel about that first round matchup?
Didn't I already say this earlier that I don't? I'd rather lose. I'd rather not take the first seed if the Celtics are going to go in there. I'll see you in the Western or Western Conference. Eastern Conference Championships or something like that. I'd rather just face you there and lose because that would be the farthest I've ever gotten. But I'd rather not see you in the first round just because I know that you just bend me over and have your way with me.
Wow. Nothing like also, a submissive date. Huh?
Since you're doing little shout-outs here from the forums, I'd like to shout-out to my homeboy, the Kings. He told everyone to say hi, and then he giggled like a little schoolgirl.
He did that last time, and I'm just telling you, Nola, keep it up. Every time you do this, it makes me laugh. So.
Trey is actually giggling right now.
You can probably hear it.
He is giggling.
Like a little schoolgirl.
She's upset.
We had something. Midseason awards.
I'm going to go with most improved player, and I'm sticking with my pick of Ron Artest. I think literally Ron Artest, we both talked about this in the preseason. I think Ron Artest, after seeing his stats, Balls is going to slap me because apparently I stole his
you
pick.
You just stole it from him.
I started that.
This is the one guy who started this whole movement.
Okay, well.
You took his thing. As we're going, the only one that he knows, the only one that he was going to pick. And you went, hold on, we're not going to do MVP right now. We're going to go right to most improved player. And I'm going to take Balls, his pick.
I'm going to take Balls? Whoa.
So
I think I'm going to give it to Dwight Howard. I think Dwight Howard's going to be MVP.
Let's talk about this for 1 second. A minute ago, which is going to get edited out and you guys won't hear it, you were willing to pick Gilbert Arenas
that
for
was a
MVP.
Joke.
I'm not editing that out. Everyone's going to hear that.
You pick Gilbert Arenas for MVP.
I'm hoping that was a
but
joke.
But you wouldn't
it
put
was a joke.
You wouldn't put him for most improved player. Because behind our test, I don't have Kamen. I have Gilbert Arenas.
I honestly think that Gilbert Arenas last year put up really good numbers and that the improvement he made this year is really good, but I don't think it's something that drastic.
I mean, if you're
it wasn't like a 10-point jump in scoring
this
will be like the third time we said this. He's back-to-back All-Star MVP. How can he be most improved player?
This is how. He's improved his scoring by 2 points a game. He's improved his assists by almost 2 a game. He is shooting a better field goal percentage, or actually not better, but he's shooting more. He's leading his team. You got to take away Gerald Wallace, right? And his team's doing just as good, if not better. Who's that on? That's on Gilbert.
I honestly flated myself earlier, so I don't think I have round 2. I think it's more like Brian Grant again has just been a solid rock on our team in the sense of like scoring efficiently and providing some rebounds. I mean, he's 17-9 essentially this season, which is just as good, if not better than last year, and almost not as good as when we traded for him midseason a couple seasons back. But I honestly think that Gilbert Arenas, although he has improved this year, I don't think he deserves MIP.
Well,
and that's coming from the team that owns him.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's a shoo-in for our test, but you can pick somebody else.
Yeah, I'm not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
I'm not going to pick in this category because I don't really know it that well, so I'm going to skip to. I do agree with you on MVP, though. I'm looking at the stats. I think Dwight Howard's a shoo-in. I mean, he's.
MVP?
Yep.
14.3 rebounds.
He's number one
in rebounds, he's number 3 in points.
Okay. Have you ever heard of an MVP not making the playoffs? How valuable to
Alex
your team?
Alex Rodriguez, Texas Rangers.
We're not talking about the non-sport of baseball. We're talking about the made-up sport of Sim League basketball. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't see a single Laker in the top scoring players in this league. So that takes out Tim Duncan. Who's the reigning MVP.
Want to talk about that time he was scoring 27 a game and then was put on the bench, which was partially my fault. But that really pulled him out. I mean, he scored 15
okay.
a game.
Fair enough.
But he could come back into that
corner. He could easily.
I don't think Duncan's an MVP.
I just think he was MVP of the Cavs because he was the guy. Whereas on the Lakers, there's three guys.
Well, he was putting up the same stats. He was putting up 28 and 15 before that week.
But nobody's saying the Nets. I think we were pretty much thinking the Nets were going to make the playoffs.
Dwight Howard
squeezed in there at least.
Dwight Howard's not the MVP.
I don't think it's Kobe Bryant either. This is a statistics driven. The computer the computer decides, and they usually decide on crazy, you know, just decisions in general. I think that Dwight Howard leading in rebounds and being number three in points per game and being the only option on that team, he's just going to keep going up. I mean, who else? You want to go with Tim Duncan? I mean, is that...
No, I mean...
he's fourth on rebounds. He's behind Dwight Howard there. And it's partially... You're right. It's partially because of the lineup. But that being said, the game can't do anything about that. They just see that you sat him for a week. And unfortunately, that's going to probably take him out of it.
You know, this brings up a good discussion, though. Should we be voting on all of our awards? I mean... The drawback behind that is we don't get a lot of votes. But should we be voting on everything? Like, the whole league is active.
I think it's safe to say that 75% of the league would vote for that.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe have a rule where you can't vote for your own player because we all know Carmelo Anthony would definitely get one vote.
Right.
And Weber.
No.
Right.
And Chris Paul.
Well, you know, that's the point that I was going to bring up, is if you think Dwight Howard's an MVP, I'm going to tell you, I think Chris Paul is more of an MVP candidate because he brought that team from the worst record in the league, tied with you, Trey, to come back and actually have a chance to win the Pacific and, you know, back in the playoffs. He's like, what, a 3 seed now, a 4 seed?
He is number 5 in assists, number 1 in steals, might I add. I also, you know who another player that I really want to give it to? And again, this isn't necessarily because...
You want to give it to him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think it's mainly him that is carrying his team, but I think he has had a huge impact on the team's success, and that's Baron Davis.
I knew you were about to say that. Yeah. That's a guy that's a really good MVP candidate.
Baron Davis?
I could get on the Baron Davis MVP candidate vote.
Yeah, I mean, ever since, GM of the year right now, at the beginning of the season, I was giving it to the Mavs or the Raptors, but by a landslide now, I'm going with the Pacers. The way he's turned that team around and collected, you know, talent at almost every position.
Well, speaking of the Pacers, go ahead.
You know who he got Ron Artest from?
You.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Nice. Speaking of the Pacers and the post on the thread, it was I just saw it as midseason awards, honorable mention. So we've kind of talked about that. But he adds a nice wrinkle at the end of this. It's, you know, let's berate some of the players that were expected to be in the running of the awards and who have just failed out considerably. Do you know any off the top of your head?
Yeah. Who? Most improved player, Chris Kamen. I mean, you can speak to it.
Oh, that he didn't
directly.
He
that
didn't
he just
perform.
Didn't make that jump that
we were expecting.
Anybody
he's,
expected.
He's had a huge. And he's doing exactly what I thought in the beginning. He's producing the same amount of points per minute that he did last year.
Yeah, but
he's,
what's his shooting
he's
11. Percentage?
It's
like
not
400.
Okay, he shot 28% one sim, and he shot like 50% the next two sims. So his percentage. I'm not on the Kamen bandwagon anymore. I don't think he's produced what I thought he would, but we did say 10 and a half, 11 points because he was averaging 3.5 with his time. When he tripled his time, what was he going to get? He's at 10 and a half right now. He's at 10.
Yeah, so, and another guy I want to throw in there, and I'm kind of throwing him out of the six-man mix, is Othella Harrington. Now, he's producing close to the same amount of points and near the same amount of rebounds, but if you look at his shooting percentage, he's shooting like 360, 370. Like, he is just throwing shit at the wall and hoping something sticks, or at the backboard at least.
Not to be a D-bag, but also I'd like to say that Gerald Wallace, his play has really... I mean, he's a defensive guy. He's hung his hat on defense all the time. His points are down. His scoring is down.
No, how bad are his points down?
Like...
0.7.
0.7. Really? See, you're throwing out. Okay, Matt, you're throwing out stuff that you.
Wait, hold up.
I know that you're bitter about this.
I'm not
understand.
Bitter, no, Jesus.
His listen. No, his points are down 0.7 points a game. He's been a scoring option once, which was pretty much the same thing you were doing, right?
Yeah,
he made it was once or twice. I remember your experiment. His steals are down a little bit. He's almost averaging 2 blocks as a small forward, which is outlandish. His turnovers are down, which is good. His free throw percentage is up. He's not taking a lot of three-pointers, which is a good thing. I mean, I can't agree with you on this point. And his field goal percentage...
All right, we can say that he doesn't deserve the contract.
My brain's... my stat line for Gerald Wallace was a little, I guess, dated. I haven't seen his most recent one. So I guess I was thinking back to earlier in the season when he was averaging 9 points a game.
Well, when we moved it outside this past sim, he flourished. He did really well being not even an option. I he did really well. Partially, Steven Jackson was out for 3 games. That being said, he still produced. He still shot at a relatively high percentage. And he's doing great things for me considering he's not an option. All he's there to do is play defense.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job with defense, too. Because I did it by position. I looked at the stats, crunched the numbers, and the 3 is scoring like 6 or 7 points less than every other position on the teams I'm playing. And now that doesn't have a that's only by what's on the team on the game. And like my guy was listed as a 3, but he was playing the 2 the whole time. So it's not fair to really quote that much. But it could be a telling stat to how good the defense is coming from Wallace.
I did want to add one more thing back to MIP.
We're about to get to an hour.
Yeah, we need to cut this off soon. But I just want to add one more thing. Rip Hamilton, I think, is another candidate for most improved player. We kind of touched on him earlier on in that he is shooting his best numbers, putting up his best numbers, and his stats have just improved across the board. The ratings, too.
Defensive player of the year? I mean, the Marcus Camby Award? I've got Marcus Camby.
I'm just going to stick with Marcus Camby. I mean, it's hard until someone...
Until further notice.
Until someone... I can maybe see Okafor possibly giving him a little bit of a push for his votes, but I, at the moment,
here, this
Camby's the guy.
This is why it's going to be him. Marcus Camby is number 2 in rebounds. He's 0.8 back of Dwight Howard with 13.5 rebounds a game. Now, that's not always on defense, but I understand that, but that's a high number. Then he's number 1 in blocks, and Dwight Howard is nowhere to be found in blocks per game in the top 10.
So we shouldn't even mention this award. Let's talk about, like, honorable mentions for DPOY. And then you got Kenyon Martin, and you got Okafor. I think those are the guys you really – I mean, obviously Garnett and Duncan kind of get overlooked because they're perpetual greatness, but – you know, those two guys are pretty solid.
Another guy that's kind of flying under the radar is Rafe LaFrance. I mean, he's putting up really good numbers this year. He's 20-10. And then, on top of that, he's like 2.5 blocks. So, or 2.6, excuse me.
You know, the funny thing about that
and he's
is...
And he's shooting 43% from the 3.
He can't unload Rafe LaFrance's contract for anything.
Which I think is ridiculous. I mean, he's working. He's making those. He's earning that money right now.
Oh, if I had salary to give up to get LaFrance, I would.
Yeah,
I would consider it.
I don't need him because I have like my center of the future already. But if I was lacking in the center, I would be making any effort available just to try to get to acquire him. I think he's in a good. He has a good problem on his hands with having too many centers.
Any other awards we're talking about?
You know, Rookie of the Year, I think we think it's Chris Paul. Who's number 2?
David Lee.
David Lee?
Yeah. Double-double as a rookie?
I'd be interested to see where Sean May ends up.
Sean May definitely is putting up good numbers.
I mean, his numbers are good. I almost said the wrong person.
LL Cool J?
No, I almost threw out the wrong person. But, yeah, I mean, Sean May's had a really good year. He's the only guy on that team. Or he's one of the only options. He's their top scoring option, which, I mean, no wonder they're
crazy.
Not winning a lot. I mean, it's hard with
being
your best option.
I'm starting to wonder. Don't get me wrong. Sean May's doing great this year. But, I mean, outside of Jason Kidd, what else on that team is there to score? If he's the top scoring option on that team, a lot of times, I mean, we look at the, like, Wayne Simien on the Portland Trail Blazers, who's doing really well this year. But is the reason he's doing pretty well because there's only three scoring options on that team?
I heard that both of them went to the doctor the other day, and they were diagnosed with inflated numbers syndrome.
Yeah. I honestly think Sean May is doing great.
Sean May is an 8-6 guy on a playoff
team. He's not
team.
In the NBA at this point.
No, right. I mean, he at best, he is, what's your guy's name?
Martin?
No, your power forward.
Oh, Ilyasova.
Wilcox. No, at best,
Okay.
If Sean May turned into Wilcox, that would be the greatest thing ever. But he's more of...
But how much does production actually pay into these stats going up? Because honestly, if he ends the year with a really, really solid production, his stats could go up and he could start becoming more and more legit.
Now, one good thing he has,
you know,
does
player from that
him.
From that contract from that minutes, draft.
He's playing 30 minutes a game, and he's only turning the ball over 1.7 a game, which I think for a big guy, that's taking a lot of shots,
and for a rookie,
And he's shooting 46%. It's not like he's shooting like 40 or 38 or something like that. He's shooting 46.
All right, final thoughts. We're at 101, and I'm really not going to cut this. So,
Let's just end this out. Let's end with the post of the week.
Okay. Go ahead.
My post, I already said it earlier, was the 80-23s. What year does this league end? Was it 2010? Which has set the bar for all the trades that just went down the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Pass it over to Trey.
I think we were going to talk about copy-paste, but Alpha Male may have been the best post of the week. I was not going to say it because he's sitting right here, so of course he's going to, you know, raise his hand and give me the, like, rock on symbol or something like that, or what you could imagine coming from Quail Man at this point, but...
I'm fucking her right now.
I hope your kids weren't in the room.
Yeah. Well.
I thought the post of the week was from Hornets Tom 24/7 about how he self-fellationed himself, and then he went on to self-fellatio himself. Actually, it wasn't self-fellatio. I think he pretty much gave a blow hay with his mouth to Glenn Robinson and then tried to destroy me with very flawed arguments. Good job, buddy. Post of the week.
All right, let's see.
Also, the workaholics picture was also maybe.
Why do you? So, question, Quail.
Someone heard because Quail gave it away that we worked together but in the past, and somehow it turned into that.
Why do you always take it to a weirder place?
Hashtag get weird.
Let's get weird.
No, I remember seeing that episode, and when you were talking about all this, actually, like, searched on my work laptop in the hotel after work, I was like, I just typed in workaholics self blow, and that's all I typed. I didn't want to type a blow job on my work laptop. So I was like, let's just throw it out there and see what pops up. And that was the first picture under the images on Google Images. So I was like, all right, cool. And that's why I just thought that was funny. I didn't know if anyone else would get it. So I'm glad.
I'm going hard stop at 105. And
where are we at?
We're 103.49.
Okay, so I also thought it was funny the trust me, I'm a doctor part in the Hornets 24/7 post. Or a med student, rather.
My name is Michael Strahan. You can trust me because I've sent people to the doctor. Real quick before we cut this off. Bold predictions for this week. Do you think any team is going to come out of nowhere and blow it away? Do you think some team's going to drop in the standings?
Celtics go undefeated.
I think the Wizards are going to drop out of the playoff run this week.
One week, they're going to drop all the way out,
or at least drop down to like where the Wizards are. This all right,
25 seconds.
The Mavericks fall out of the playoff standing.
Okay. Well, all right, guys. Well, like we've said before, we figured out the Skype thing. We want to get some other people involved. We'll be in touch with you guys then. But this has been the Sim League Over Everything podcast. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.